Hello, my name's Stephen Schaub. I'm the leader of the Fisher Revolution, as well as a master printer and hybrid artist at Indian Hill Image Works in Pollard, Vermont. The title of this audio blog is The Flip-Flop Decade. It's sort of my sort of reflections here on this last decade and how it has affected the medium of photography. Sort of from a personal note, when I look back on my own works and, you know, where I've gone this last year, it's really interesting to me. Back in 1999 and 2000, I was shooting still 100% film-based cameras and 100% wet darkroom. I had been influenced in working with digital from a commercial standpoint for 3 or 4 years at that time, but anybody who knows digital back in that period remembers that it was very much the Wild West, you know, and stuff changed very quickly. There wasn't a lot of logic and a lot of sharing of information, so digital was more difficult at that time to sort of get involved in. So, you know, at the beginning of this decade, again, I was completely film and wet darkroom. Then in 2001, I purchased sort of what I would consider my first professional digital camera. It was a Nikon D1X. Very good camera system. I liked it. I started doing a lot of work digitally. I purchased an Epson 7500 series printer, you know, so I was starting to make, you know, digital printing at that time. I was doing a lot of work with early quad tone ink sets, and I was really sort of exploring the possibilities of digital. And at that time, digital to me was intriguing because the industry hadn't really developed into what it is today. At that time, there was an awful lot of experimentation going on. There wasn't a lot of sharing of information. It was very difficult to sort of pry out from people, you know, sort of their workflow or the way they worked and the printers and the inks that they used. It's not like today where you can go on, you know, Facebook or Twitter or just do a Google search and get, you know, volumes of information. Back then, that information wasn't there, and the internet wasn't the, you know, constant resource that it is today. So it was intriguing to me, though, the possibilities of being able to print on, you know, virtually any paper that I wanted, you know, and I liked it. And within a very short period of time, I upgraded from, which is hard for me to say that word, I upgraded from the D1X to a Kodak DCS Pro back, which was a 16 megapixel back. Now, this was back in 2002. So, you know, I was working with a very high resolution back on a Horseman body, you know, back in 2002. And I remember working with the system, and I remember being, you know, impressed with the quality and everything, but I wasn't blown away. And I remember being kind of like, geez, you know, the resolution's good, the quality's good, but it's no better than the prints that I'm making in the darkroom. I have some more flexibility, I have some retouching capabilities, but digital to me, at that very early stage, I started seeing that it wasn't better, it was just different. And I started seeing that I needed to sort of rethink what my approach on digital was going to be. And I remember being very disillusioned very early in this stage, very disillusioned that I had gone out west in 2002, 2003, in the early spring to photograph, came home, made all my prints, and I thought they looked great, but they didn't look any better than anything that I had done in terms of silver. I wasn't gaining, you know, really that much in terms of dynamic range. I wasn't gaining anything really in terms of sharpness or clarity or tonality than what I was getting already in the wet darkroom. And I remember being really frustrated about this, very frustrated about also the lack of information on how to sort of get to that next step. And this was sort of the time period in this last decade when I really started experimenting a lot, started experimenting with the idea of a hybrid workflow. And it was right around this time that I started doing the Through the Glass Darkly series of work, which were Polaroid instant positives made on Holga cameras. The Polaroid positive was scanned on a very low-end Epson scanner and then printed on a very high-end, you know, Epson print as a quad-tone image. And that to me was intriguing. That to me was more the promise of digital. You know, at that time, and I still think to this time, that the digital cameras, when you try to compare them, you know, to a film-based photograph, it's sort of a losing battle. It's a losing battle on so many fronts because you really can't say that one is better than another. They're just different. And to me, the different look that I was getting from digital capture really wasn't what I wanted for my fine artwork. It was fine for my commercial work, but for my fine artwork, I really found it to be lacking, and I found it to be very unsatisfying. And so as a result, you know, over the course of the next, 7, 8 years, I've done nothing but hybrid arts. Nothing but, working with instant Polaroid materials and alternative process such as encaustic and handmade paper printing, and have really sort of pushed in that direction. And it's in that area where I have found that the balance of digital and analog seems to feel the best for me. So that's why I sort of say that this last decade for me was very much a flip-flop decade. I went in being 100% analog, went to virtually 100% digital for a brief period of time, and then sort of flopped back to the idea of maybe a better, more sustainable path of an analog-digital sort of union. Of course, another thing you have to think about in this last decade is the loss that's happened within our industry with regards to companies. The most glaring in my mind is Agfa, Contax. I mean, these are companies that have been involved in the photographic, world for, a very long time. And the fact that they, went away so quickly, really to me is very disturbing. I mean, all you have to do is look at the pace of the discontinuing of films and chemicals, and how difficult it is nowadays to get a lot of analog materials. I mean, Jobo's gone. I mean, it's really frightening how fast all of this has happened, how fast all of this has disappeared. As a matter of fact, if you think back over the last 100 years of photography, I can't think of a single decade where the change was as radical as this last decade has been. I mean, sure, you have, when the largers became popular and when small format cameras became popular and when color materials became popular, but none of those have been as earth-shattering as this last 10 years. And what concerns me and what I've been spending a lot of time thinking about is, well, what are the ramifications of this last decade? Well, for one, I think that a lot has been lost. And that concerns me. I mean, a lot of these films and papers and processes are gone, and they're not coming back. I'm very happy to see that all the major film producers have all got, upticks and significant upticks in their analog film sales, and that's a good thing. We talked about it here already on this website, though, that one of the Achilles heels to this uptick, though, is the fact that, scanner technology is expensive. There's not a lot of people making really good scanners, and scanners sort of, hold sort of the existence of film as I'm using it as a hybrid artist in the balance. If all of a sudden scanners become harder and harder to get, you're going to see this wonderful balance of hybrid art, very quickly die off. So scanners very much are the linchpin that are keeping a lot of this analog-based technology still alive. One of the other things that I think is very upsetting about the last 10 years is the fact that a lot of people are no longer printing their images. I mean, it used to be that when you worked in film-based technology, you had to print the images to actually see what it looked like. Unless you were shooting some sort of, transparency material, you didn't really know what you had until you made that print. I can't tell you how many people I speak to who are no longer printing their work. To them, the image is just something on the screen. And to me, that is just so lacking. It does not have the finished, quality. It doesn't have that finished emotion of being able to look at an actual, finished print on a wall. And I understand that it's expensive, and I've talked about it here on the website, but I think, once again, a lot is being lost in the fact that all we're doing is sharing our information, in terms of, computer screens and websites, and not actually in terms of prints. So I think that's something that I found, very disturbing in this last 10 years. Another thing that I have found disturbing is sort of the loss of value placed upon photographic services and photographic knowledge. I'm the first person to say that the internet and the web and everything that we do online is fantastic. I mean, this website is a manifestation of how much I believe in the ability of social networking and communicating ideas through electronic media. Yet at the same time, there has been a sort of a general attitude, I think, appearing within the industry that information should be free and that everything should be free and that, why should I have to pay for a particular knowledge? And it disturbs me. And I think that you can see this, most clearly if you look at the newspaper industry. I mean, we all know that print newspapers dying, unfortunately. And we all know that all the online newspapers, their online versions, are all struggling trying to find a way to monetize all that information. And they haven't come up with a formula that really works. And I think that this is something that should concern photographers, because at a certain point, you know, advertisers are only going to put so much money towards a website to help support it. You know, there are several websites out there that are completely paid websites, you know, where if you want to have some of the content that, you know, that they post on the site, you have to pay to belong in order to get that information. And I think that this is something that over the next, you know, couple of years is going to shake itself out. I think we're going to come to a balance, because it is difficult. I know even for myself here on this site, you know, I started this site sort of as a reaction to what I saw happening within our industry. And it's sort of gone in directions and got much bigger than I ever anticipated the site getting. Yet, you know, and which is very gratifying, and it makes me feel great that people have sort of responded the way they have. I'll get more into that in a minute. Yet at the same time, you know, if I was trying to do the site in some sort of way that it was going to actually pay the bills, I'm not quite sure how you would do it. It's very difficult, you know, and so this is something that it just concerns me, that people need to realize that, you know, prior to this last decade, the way you got a lot of this information was you went to a workshop, you bought a book, you subscribed to an actual hard magazine, you know, and there was an exchange of money for information, and that's gone. And I think that, you know, in some ways it's good, but in other ways, you know, are we getting good information now? You know, free information on a lot of websites have a tendency of being laced with just nonstop product placement. And that, in my opinion, is not good information. So I think there needs to be a better balance. And I'm not quite sure where that balance is, but it is something that I think, you know, we need to sort of find. In terms of, you know, the Fisher Revolution in general, I mean, it's been now live for about 2.5 years. And I sort of look back, and what makes me very happy is that from last year to this year, we have grown over 60% in total readership. That's huge. Our daily readership has gone up by 60%, almost 70%, on just sort of our daily sort of numbers of what we get on the site. And that's all fantastic. And what that tells me, you know, and what makes me happy is that it tells me that there are people out there interested in this sort of hybrid analog film technology, and that the idea of, you know, a sustainable future, the idea of holding the photo industrial complex accountable to our needs as photographers is something that, you know, I alone just don't feel, that there are a lot of photographers out there who believe in that and who want to see this as, you know, one possible future for photography. And that makes me really happy. So where do we go from here? I mean, you know, what is this last decade going to teach us? And I think one thing that it should teach us is that advertising works, and that we need to be very wary of what we read. And we need to watch very closely, you know, what's being sold to us. There were an awful lot of snake oil salesmen this last decade. There were an awful lot of people who sold products and who sold goods that never really panned out, or not to least to the degree that they said they did. And I think we're now seeing that. There were a lot of people who convinced us again and again and again that we needed to buy. Well, I think anybody can sit around and look at the economy now and realize that that was not necessarily good. And as a matter of fact, it was, you know, I think in a lot of ways detrimental to our industry. And this next decade, you know, especially with the advent of digital coming up digital video coming up right now so quickly, you know, I think we're going to see another just radical change in our industry. In 10 years from now, if I'm still around, I'm still, you know, writing for this site, you know, I can tell you, I think that the conversation is going to also be one of just total shock as to how much is really going to change over this next 10 years. You know, I, for one, am very happy with what I'm doing right now with regards to hybrid arts. I'm very happy with the film and the support that I see within the analog community and the digital community. And I think that as long as we as photographers, and I mean photographers with a capital letter P, remember that we are all in this together, and remember that the photography community is better when it has choice. The photography community is better when we have analog and digital video and alternative processes all coexisting together. As long as we remember that, I think we as an industry will be good. But I think we also need to just look at this last decade and see where it went wrong and just make sure that we don't repeat it. Thank you very much for listening. I wish everybody a very happy and safe new year. And stay tuned for new posts here on the Fisher Revolution beginning any day now. Thank you. Can't wait to hear your comments.